This is District Sentinel Radio, the podcast that is not Pod Save America.
Fuck those guys.
I'm Sam Sachs.
I'm Sam Knight.
We are in the Harper's a Good Girl studios in Washington, D.C. Check out the website, districtsentinel.com. Intern Nate here in studio with us.
I also hate Pod Save America.
Today's episode of Pod Save the Sentinel Boys is sponsored by Single Payer. Yes, actually, the government does know better in this case.
I just don't know how, well, I do know how, but, you know, you've got the host of what is the most popular political podcast in America, Jon Favreau, former Obama speechwriter, claiming he wouldn't join an organization if they were against single-payer healthcare, yet he's somehow unaware that the organization is filled with people like Bill Frist and CEOs of health insurance companies that have devoted their life to fighting against things like single-payer healthcare. Is this guy that dumb, or is he just being dishonest here? That is the question we all want to know.
It's a very good question. He was getting extremely mad about it online last night, though, when people were pointing out what a fucking farce this is, saying that nothing, his position on Medicare for All hasn't changed, but yeah, at best, he just has no idea what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Emma Roller for dragging him pretty thoroughly. Emma, a guest of ours in our very first live show in D.C., she had a scorching hot take about the movie It in Clowns in Congress.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing with this Pods of America care for, what is it, care for U.S.?
Yeah, I don't
care,
even know what
U.S. care, whatever
some
the bullshit it is.
Term, yeah.
Like this in the story about At Funder. You're just seeing what a scam the establishment Democratic Party is from the top on down.
And to cue in our listeners who may be unaware, today the Daily Beast came out with an article about, quote, scam political action committees. And of course, who is in the lead but Scott Dorkin, a.k.a. At Funder on Twitter. That was just...
Not one of the hobbits from The Lord of the Rings, surprisingly. He looks like one, though.
Chef kissing the fingers is what I wanted to say before Nate interrupted me.
I'd direct listeners to our most recent Sentinel cast, where we interviewed Jordan Ewell, who has sort of navigated these circles a bit, and we talked a bit about Mr. Funder, Scott Dworkin. That's available only to our subscribers on Patreon. $5 a month gets you access to the Sentinel cast. It also gets you a personalized haiku read on this show, which brings us to our poetry segment. This one is for Isaac. Dog chills on my lap. It's perfectly still until Nate makes a loud noise.
Thank you.
Just like that.
Thank you, Isaac. This is for Michael. I'm in big trouble. Spent my baby's milk money on freaking Bitcoin.
Yikes. Thank you, Michael. This one is for Sean. Olympics are here. Time to pretend we all like watching athletes curl.
Thank you, Sean. I think they should let the curling participants smoke cigarettes while they curl.
Sports are always better when the athletes are smoking.
Also, if curling's an Olympic event, they should really make darts a summer Olympic event. Give the Brits another reason to feel good about themselves.
I recently watched darts on TV. Actually pretty exciting.
Anyway, this is for John. To honor Philly, I would like to dump a bunch of beef in my mouth.
Thank you, John.
Better than horse shit, I would have to say. We all saw that video being circulated. Yeah.
Yes, beef is better than horse shit. This one is for Mark. Ah, yes, tank parade. Roll them Humvees, fly those jets, get POTUS dick hard.
Thank you, Mark. This is for Trayvon's business school grad here. Guess what? I'm stupid as fuck and have loads of cash.
Thank you, Trayvon's. And thank you to all our new subscribers. You too can become a subscriber. Go to patreon.com/districtsentinel. $5 a month. Get you access to our once a week Sentinel cast. Get your haiku. Get your other bonus content. If you've subscribed this week and you haven't heard your haiku, don't worry. We'll get to it. We're working through a backlog. It's Wednesday, February 7th, 2018. Here's the news.
Yesterday we said it might happen. Today it happened. Top Republicans and Democrats in the Senate announced a budget deal that would keep the government funded until October 2019. The agreement would see the end of sequestration caps established during the Tea Party Congress when House Republicans threatened to shut down the government under the Obama administration.
Ah, yes, the Tea Party.
But Senate Democrats aren't willing to retaliate, giving up the only piece of leverage that they currently have in Washington. Here was Chuck Schumer this afternoon on the floor of the Senate.
After months of legislative logjams, this budget deal is a genuine breakthrough. After months of fiscal brinkmanship, this budget deal is the first real sprout of bipartisanship.
Who cares about bipartisanship sprouts, you dumb fuck?
Retire, Chuck.
Those logjams and brinkmanship were all you had. What Schumer is getting for giving up the government funding filibuster for 2 years is a $300 billion budget increase. In typical Democrat fashion, the majority, or $169 billion, would go to defense spending. Currently, the top-line Pentagon budget is already $700 billion, but hell, what's another $169 billion over the next 2 years? And the rest, or $131 billion, would be dispersed on programs that support healthcare infrastructure and higher education.
Got to build all those low-yield nuclear weapons to fulfill James Mattis's game theory.
But again, whatever they're getting, the Democrats are giving up the only piece of real power that the party has in all of government at the moment. You thought the resistance wouldn't be able to top authorizing surveillance authorities for the Putin puppet in the White House that they claim to despise. To Nancy Pelosi's credit, she has come out against the budget deal, saying she wants an open debate on an immigration bill. Mitch McConnell has promised Schumer that, and according to Reuters, it's supposed to take place next week. And at the moment, it doesn't look like the McConnell-Schumer deal has any chance, or much of a chance, rather, of passing the House. In addition to Pelosi's opposition, Freedom Caucus Chair Mark Meadows rejected the proposal today, shortly after it was unveiled. That signals that the hardline conservatives in the House don't want any part in this whatsoever.
I think what's so fucking infuriating here is Democrats actually think this is going to win them votes. They think this is what people want to see. I mean, they're saying at their presser today in preparation for their yearly policy retreat that the message they're going to run on in 2018 is restoring balance. Like, who the fuck cares about balance?
The resistance Democrats are delivering Trump a huge victory here, something that was never afforded to Barack Obama in the entire 8 years that he was president.
How fucking dumb does he look, by the way, with sequestration?
Obama, yeah. Very dumb.
How dumb does the Tea Party look? I mean, I guess they got power, but as far as the people who were clamoring about debts and shit a few years ago.
What's really insidious about this is it's just more of the quiet sort of normalization of Trump. I mean, think about all the scandals, emoluments, conflicts of interest, his fucking kids run the government. The obstruction of justice and in the Mueller probe, or sorry, when he fired Comey, we're just seeing the resistance fold like a goddamn cheap suit.
Saying the Trump administration is trying to kill oversight is a pretty obvious statement these days, but regardless, we got yet another glimpse of it today in the Senate Homeland Security Committee. Now check out this exchange between Senator Claire McCaskill and Department of Homeland Security Deputy Secretary Elaine Duke. Now before I play it, let me set it up real quick. Y'all remember Trump's Muslim ban last year and all the chaos that it caused? Well, the Department of Homeland Security Inspector General conducted a probe into how it was all implemented, how it all went down behind the scenes. Well, that probe was completed last October. The finished product, an 87-page report, was submitted to the Department of Homeland Security for review to be made public. But senior department officials have sat on it and won't allow the public or members of Congress to see the full report. The report, according to Department of Homeland Security Inspector General Eli Roth, is quite critical of the Trump administration, accusing it of causing significant problems with its travel ban rollout and even defying court orders. So, in this clip, here is Claire McCaskill on Wednesday talking to DHS Deputy Secretary Elaine Duke, demanding to see the report and wanting to know who is exerting privilege to block its release.
And is this an executive privilege or is this a deliberative process privilege? Is this the White House that is exerting this privilege or is it your department?
There were different pieces of the report that came under different privileges. Some were executive, some were deliberative process. The IG got all that information. It was an issue of whether it could be made public through a public report. So the IG does have the information.
Okay, so, but the IG cannot share that with me.
Correct.
So, or the chairman of this committee.
We would be happy to have a discussion about that with you if you'd like to go over the findings of the report. I will commit to you that we'll come in and talk to you about the report.
Well, I'm going to need more explanation about this because this could be a trend.
Notice Elaine Duke go into immediate customer support mode, like, oh, you know, we'll be happy to come in and have a discussion about the report and its findings. But no, you can't see the report. Sorry. Duke also claimed that releasing the full report would be improper since the travel ban is under litigation, an excuse that other departments that are frequently under suit can use to block release of future IG findings.
It's fucked up. They won't even let goddamn senators see the report. Jesus. Economic indicators have been a little wild recently. We've talked about stock losses and bond yield increases in the past week. President Trump weighed in on financial markets today, tweeting, of course, that selling stocks now is, quote, a big mistake, and we have so much good, great news about the economy. Today, we got some more economic news. Unfortunately for @RealDonaldTrump, and more importantly for people throughout the country, it isn't exactly good. Student debt is soon set to break the $1.5 trillion threshold. That's according to the latest preliminary set of consumer credit data from the Fed from 2017. Student debt was at $1.49 trillion last year, and it was up $80 billion from the year before. We've also talked a little bit about the market for car loans and how it's infested with a lot of subprime lenders. Fed survey showed auto debt at $1.1 trillion last year, up by almost $40 billion from 2016, and it also showed consumer interest rates increasing across the board. I guess according to every dipshit op-ed columnist ever, those crazy millennials are soon going to have to cut back on avocado toast.
Finally, a top White House aide resigned today. Rob Porter announced he'd be leaving his post. It comes on the same day as The Intercept published a report detailing claims from two former wives of Porter that he was physically abusive, allegations backed up by photographic evidence. The outlet also reported that the allegations have hampered Porter's ability to get a security clearance, yet he's been allowed to keep his job and have access to the president's inner circle. Mind you, these allegations are just now becoming public, but they've been known about for some time among personnel management within the White House. According to several outlets, Porter has operated as sort of a gatekeeper alongside Chief of Staff John Kelly of what gets to the president's desk each day. And Kelly is defending Porter. He claims he's a man of true integrity and honor. Porter's resignation isn't effective immediately. He plans to stick around the White House for a smooth transition. No rush or anything to get this serial domestic abuser out of the West Wing. All right, we have reached the end of the newscast. Time to check out the old listener rant line.
Sam, Nate, hello. A comrade calling me back again. I just wanted to say the answer to my riddle. You speak true, but miss the clues I left you. You said it, and made one too. You can figure it out. You're smart, boys. Keep up the good work.
All right. So I guess we're close to the answer, but it wasn't a haiku. The answer was not what speaks five times twice and seven times once is not a haiku, but we're close.
I'm terrible.
Haiku verse? Do we need to be more specific? I don't know. Let's check out the next caller.
I'm completely riddled.
Hey, Sam, Nick. Rachel and Keith again. Slavo Ukraini Sushki. Tangentially related to your Dimumi story from Thursday about Twitter, I wanted to personally welcome Sam Knight 1 back onto the Twitterverse. Tweet the spelling, but never the spirit, I hope. Any chance you'll be as generous at following back Mere Plebs this incarnation as last? There may be Patreon-related consequences based on your response. Same deal holds for Saxon Nate, I might add. Just think about it. Last but not least, just wanted to let intern Nate know I totally feel your pain, bro. Stay strong, man, and fight the good fight. I believe in you. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for the call, Rachel. Yes, Sam Knight 1 back on Twitter. You going to throw Rachel a follow here?
Yeah, I'm slowly following people that I used to follow, and I guess, yeah, I will. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought we followed each other already.
We tried about a team follow back, but we don't always get to it.
Greg and Cincy, just finished watching the football game, and shit, man, my boy Sax might want to give up QB duties. Throwing some motherfucking ducks out there.
Not sure what highlights you were watching, Greg, but I threw a pretty effective bomb to Jordan for a touchdown, our only touchdown of the game. Actually, that didn't end up in a touchdown. We got stopped on the one.
Was it not a catch or a...
No, it was a catch. It was right on his fingertips. Right on his fingertips. I did throw a few bad balls out there, though. That's true.
You're kind of like a Jay Cutler. Big arm, not a lot of accuracy.
Yeah, I will give Sam this. His form definitely in the video looks better than mine. but on the day, I did not throw a single interception. And
I threw one.
You threw one.
It was a miscommunication with the
receiver. Blame the receiver. Nice.
And
cop.
I think I was the one who got the pick.
Yeah, I think so, too. All right, enough of that. A few more callers.
Well, hello there, boys. Hello, Sam. Hello, Sam. Hello, Nathan. It's your good buddy, Jim the Joke Man calling. Hey, I got a joke for you, and it's a real doozy. Here we go. All right. What is Tom Brady's favorite brand of orange juice? What is Tom Brady's favorite brand of orange juice? Well, that's easy. It's Sunkist. Hope you enjoyed this week's joke. Catch you later.
Good one.
That was a good one. Good one indeed. Thank you, Jim the Joke Man.
Owning Tom Brady never gets old.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Nate. This is Pete in Santa Monica. Got a joke for you boys. What's Tom Brady's favorite brand of orange juice? Sunkist.
A coordinated harassment campaign of Tom Brady.
Hey guys, it's John calling in with just a bit of a lighthearted joke for you guys. What's Tom Brady's favorite orange soda? Santa. Wait, shit, no, it's supposed to say Sunkist. Let me get a do-over.
Is there like some DM out there?
There might be.
It's Russian bots generating responses to our telephone line.
This is an active measures campaign designed to own intern Nate. And I, for one, welcome the Kremlin interference in this case.
Putin does have run of Robert Kraft's Super Bowl rings, so it makes sense.
We are going to install anti-bot technology on the rant line. But if you are human, please do call 202-684-6108.
Also, follow our anti-Russia bot on Twitter, Hamilton69.
Nice.
Sponsors of the show include the Congressional Dish podcast, hosted by Jen Briney.
Nate has taken off his headphones before Sam Sachs has read
the tag.
Postman, alert the town.
I had a fucking itch.
Can I get to our sponsors?
Yes.
The Congressional Dish podcast, hosted by Jen Briney. Find it at congressionaldish.com. Another sponsor,
levelnews.org, Nate.
Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or
Patreon.
Tune in, Nate. Jesus.
By searching for District Sentinel Radio. Give us a review. Give us a rating.
I'm usually on Twitter by this time.
Tell your friends to listen. Tell your friends to listen. We'll be back tomorrow for the newscast.
We're in DC, so you don't have to be.
Thank you.
I know that part.
You may now take off your headphones.